My name is Melody McClendon. I want to thank the audience for tuning in on BBS Radio today. I am your host for True Confessions Radio Show. And today I have a man being interviewed. His name is Michael Marks. He is a community worker in California. Michael?
Yes. Hi, Melody.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Beautiful. Great.
Thanks. Okay. I would like to like you to introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about the work you do and what type of people you work with.
Absolutely. Well, you just introduced my name is Michael Marks, of course. I'm actually originally from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been living here in California for about 18 years now, almost two decades. And the main organizations I work with the Big Brothers of Greater Los Angeles. I was a Big Brother and a mentor for them. I have worked for the South Base. This is community work, that is, volunteer work. South Bay Literacy Council, they specialize in adult literacy. And lastly, the Los Angeles Mission, they work with the homeless and hurting that population. So those are the three main ones I work with,
Okay, and could you tell me a little bit about some of the experience and the area you work with homeless with? Could you tell the audience a little bit about the poverty in our country, in America?
Well, I know it's quite widespread. I mean, you see things on the news all the time about homelessness. And just here in Los Angeles, I mean, I worked in the Skid Row area, and I had a job down there, matter of fact, not too long ago. And just the tents and it's just rampant. So the homelessness is really sad. You know, you'll see a lot of people without homes and nowhere to go. You know, the work that I did with the Los Angeles Mission, that made me feel, you know, like I was doing my part, I should say. Even though it just dealt with serving food, I was serving food. What happened was they would have quarterly graduations there. They take classes, that type of thing, and get certified in different areas of work, and they would reward them with graduations, and I would serve food, be one of the persons that helped serve them food and coffee and drinks and that type of thing, and even help out in the kitchen cooking. So, you know, it was it would just warm my heart to see them have a smile on their face and say thank you. And I'm like, man, that's I just felt like it. I felt honored to do it. So, but that's a little bit of what I've done, a little piece of what I've done, but I hope more people could do more to help out and help alleviate the homelessness. And, you know, even if it's just giving some clothes or, you know, giving your time, that type of thing. So,
well, I want to congratulate you for the work you've been doing to try to, you know, help people that are in need. I can say that I wish it was more people like you out there. I would like to know a little bit about children you've encountered. Have you encountered any children being homeless on Skid Row?
Children? Me personally, these are adults that I see. I don't think I've seen any children. I'm sure they're there, but I haven't seen any myself. But I'm sure they are because I read about it and I've talked to others who said they've worked with kids on the street, but I haven't encountered that personally. You know,
okay.
Usually,
if a lot of these people, do they suffer with mental illness? Have you encountered any adults that have suffered, you know, that are suffering with mental illness?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I understand that's one of the main ailments of the homeless population. That's one of the main reasons why they're homeless. Not that that's the only reason, of course, but one of the major reasons of the mental illness, like you said. And, you know, and that's unfortunate. I guess we need more. It would be nice to have more treatment or more caring family members who can. I don't know. I'm sure every case is different, but if we can, you know, instead of it being a situation where they find themselves homeless, they get the treatment that they need at you know, some good facilities and stuff. So that's what I would like to see happen. That's what I think I'm going to work on next as far as the mental illness side of things, homelessness.
Okay, well, can you also, you said you did other type of community work. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, Big Brother, I was, yes, absolutely. I was a Big Brother to this guy when I was in Atlanta, I was a Big Brother for, he was an 8-year-old kid, and I forget my age at the time. I think I was about 20. 21 or 22 or something like that. And I was matched with him for about 2 years, but then I left and moved out here to Los Angeles. And that's when I met this other kid, a guy named Robert. He's a grown up now, but met him at 5 years old. And we became matched. Initially, I participated in what was called the mentor program, where there were about 10 adults that were matched up. Well, we were evenly matched with about 40 kids. So there was about 10 kids. I forgot how it was, but the adults were matched with different groups of the kids, and they had different programs, you know, hygiene, where we talked to kids hygiene, talked to kids, you know, even helped them with their schoolwork, helped them with, you know, music. We did music activities, art. It was great, but then after that program, they wanted to match us up with, you know, one-on-one, and so I ended up getting matched up with Robert. He was 5 years old at the time, and I stayed with him up until 18 years old.
Wow.
And we were doing other different activities. We would go to the beach together, go to picnics, go to family functions, or take them to, you know, amusement parks. We did everything, libraries and, you know, basketball, played a lot of sports and stuff together. And I don't even know his age. He's about 25 now, I think. I haven't talked to him in a little while, but we used to keep in touch, but I've lost touch with him, so I have to get back in touch with him. He's in college. I think he's in college, or he might have graduated by now. But, that was nice.
It seems like you made a change in these children's life. I would like you to tell the audience a little bit about where these kids come from. Like, maybe their living situations, the children that you have done work with. You know, you don't have to go into full detail, but pretty much what type of families they come from. I'm sure a lot of them come from dysfunctional families and probably single parents, I would assume, needing a big brother. Could you give us a little insight about some of the things you may have experienced or heard from some of these kids? Of course, I don't want you to expose their or anything.
Yeah.
But pretty much, what have you seen or dealt with?
As you just pointed out, all of single mothers, primarily mostly African American women and Hispanic, Latina women. Those were a couple white women too, but for the most part, single African American women and Hispanic Latina women. Single mothers, and the things I experienced, A lot of, they would tell me different stories of sometimes you know, going to bed a little hungry and not always having, you know, the things that they needed for school and, as you said, a little bit of the dysfunctional stuff where the father would be in and out, come in and out, and but he wouldn't, was not a constant fixture, but he would be in and out, and when he was in, there was a lot of drama, a lot of fighting, and that type of thing. These are some of the different stories that they would tell me about. Some bullying in school, sometimes joking, making fun of them because they didn't, you know, wear certain things or didn't look cool, and a lot of it had to do with because just didn't, you know, the money wasn't there to buy certain things, and so, you know, unfortunately, they felt the brunt of it, some of these kids. So those are some of the stories that I would hear them tell me. There were others, a lot of them, but those are just some of the different stories that they would tell me about. But the good thing about it, though, these kids, they really excelled and, you know, in the face of adversity, and that was very inspiring to me. I mean, they were smart kids. They did really well in school, and a lot of them grew up and go to some top university, too. I keep in touch with some of them, and one is a police officer. I ran into him somewhere. I'm like, he just, you know, I was driving, and he just pulled me over. I didn't even know who it was. I hadn't seen him in, you know, years, and he's like, Michael. And I go, oh. We started talking, and he told me he was a police officer. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. So, yeah, I hear a lot of those kids are doing really well, though. So it's good that they didn't let that stop them, the challenges that they had. And that's the good thing about the program. We were there to inspire them. We were there to tell them that they were, you know, worthy, that they were, they could do anything they put their minds to. And so, and they heeded the advice, and they excelled, you know. So that's nice. So that's the good thing about being a part of something like that, you know. So I enjoyed it. I continue to enjoy the story that I hear.
That's beautiful. How does it make you feel, you know, just to know you made a difference in someone's life? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Profoundly uplifted, I would say, because I believe we're all here to help one another, you know, and we're not going to be here forever, you know. At the end of the day, you know, we're going to leave, you know, some way, shape, or form. And, you know, so when all the money, when you're stripped of all the money and all the materials and all of everything else, nothing wrong with that, of course. Nothing wrong with building wealth and, you know, having aspirations to do well. I have that for myself. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you strip all that away, and what's left, you know, what's left is love and caring for the next, your fellow, you know, the human, your fellow citizen, and you know, humanity is if you can just look at humanity in a positive light, and feel like you can offer, you know, even if you don't feel like you have much to offer, but everybody has something to offer, you know. So just look at it that way, and help somebody in any kind of way, and, you know, I think that helps make the world a better place, you know.
So I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Now, I would like to know a little bit about some of the other work that you have going on right now. Do you have anything else going on?
Well, I have a feature project, film I'm attempting to get off the ground right now. Title of it is Disappearance of Deliverance, and it's about a man who is it's a kidnapping. It's a story of a man and his family being kidnapped from him, and his desperate search for them. So that's what it is about in a nutshell. And I'm looking to get some investors on board so I can, get going, directing and producing that from the script that I wrote. I just completed the screenplay about 4 or 5 months ago. So that's kind of the easy part. The financing is always the really, really tough part when it comes to movies. And so that's one of the things I'm working on. And then the essays, I just recently released my essays on Amazon. And as one that you read, of course, Why Men Cry in the Dark, is, and it dealt with my separation from when my ex-wife left me and my separation from my kids. Stuff. So that's what the essay deals with, and Why Men Cry in the Dark. And it was a great achievement to me. It makes me feel good that it was published, and the editor actually contacted me and told me that a lot of people felt very moved and felt like it helped their situation, because I talked about unemployment. I was unemployed at the time. I was, trying to hold it down as a man, how society sees a man if you don't have a job, and that type of thing. They view you as a stigma to a man that doesn't have a job and unable to support his family. And so I deal with that in the essay, Why Men Cry in the Dark. And I talk about how I would actually cry in the dark, about my condition and feeling sometimes worthless, but my kids helped me feel like I was worthy. So it was very God first and then my kids second. It felt, they helped me get through that time, that trying time when my ex-wife left me. So that's what that was about. And that's another project. And like I said, there are 5 other essays that are all on Amazon right now. So if anybody's interested, they can go and check it out, check the essays out and read them for themselves. So, so those are the 2 projects I'm working on now.
I would like to add, I did read it. It done something to me. It was very emotional. I can tell you, it wasn't very easy to read. I mean, my emotions just, I became overwhelmed in emotions. Off of your story. And I would truly like you to give us some insight. So, this is an ongoing problem in our country with unemployment. And it's quite sad, especially with a man, for a man who's done so much for the community and so much effort you put in, to help children, to help homeless families. It saddens me to know that people can put into our community, put into our country, and still be disappointed, and can't find a job, especially a man like you. I know for a fact you're very intelligent, have a very warm spirit. And I really would like to know, what is your input on this ongoing issue?
Input on the I can't say now I'm employed, so I can thank the good God about that. My input, I have had some input on it, because I worked and did some volunteer work for PATH, PATH, acronym meaning People Assisting. What was my last, your last point? I just threw a blank. Unemployment. I was, PATH, People Assisting the Homeless. That's what the PATH, that's the acronym that it stands for. And I worked in the employment area there. I did some volunteer work where I helped homeless people become employed and become more marketable and that type of thing. So I saw firsthand how they wanted to get on their feet, and they had a lot of times whole families that lived in this facility, and they couldn't find employment. And so my input, again, I did in that organization is I helped write resumes, I helped with computer skills and typing and that type of thing. So I had a little bit of, I helped a little bit in that area as far as my input that I've had. That was some time ago, though I haven't had any recent workings or involvement in the area of employment, unemployment, I should say. But I do know it's an ongoing issue, although it's gotten a lot better since Obama's been the president. I know he doesn't always get a lot of credit for what he's done, but he's done a great job getting people back to work, you know. But I know there's always going to be unemployed people, and, you know, there's always work to be done on that end, you know. So, again, I think it's just a collective effort with everything. When people know that there's an issue, people, I think they should volunteer their time to help, especially when they have an expertise in a certain area. You know, if they work in an area of unemployment, and perhaps they can get something started. You know, they can help some nonprofit organization, or they can, you know, do something themselves. There's always work to be done. You know, so I suppose I'll get started with doing something soon and having more input with, you know, making a dent in unemployment. You know,
when you felt unemployed. I'm sure they had to put a bad, I mean, I know that was a bad impact, you know, on you, knowing you helped all these people with employment, and then it happened to you. You know, I would like the audience to know about that, because I would like people to read your story. That is on Amazon. And I'll say again, it is a very good story. But I would like them to know the feelings that you had. Maybe if we could get more people to try to tackle this issue, then it won't happen to someone like you.
Well, I think, yeah, when it comes to life, you know, it's something. There's just certain things you can't avoid, I believe. I mean, you can help. Yeah, I think you're right. In some degree, you can help others avoid certain, I don't want to say mistakes, but certain things if they're educated on them. But, you know, life happens, as I heard. I forgot who I heard say that. But, life happens. As far as the emotions that I put into this, I wear my emotions on my shoulder, on my sleeve, as they say. Anyway, and I just when I express them, it's exactly how I feel. You know, it's like straight no chaser, unadulterated. You know, I just give it to them, and that's how I was feeling. I was sitting down. I never forget. I love the ocean, and I was in Redondo Beach that day, and I was writing an essay on paper, you know, and I just started talking from beginning to end about I thought of it from beginning to end anyway, from the separation all the way to when she, from the time the kids were gone for about almost a month from me until the time I reunited and that type of thing. That's where how I approached it. And I was so overwhelmed in emotion myself during the writing of it, I actually was crying as I wrote it. You know, that's how powerful I felt about it. You know, I was just looking out at the Pacific Ocean and sitting down and writing it, and, you know, and the emotions just overtook me. And so when you say that you read it and you were overwhelmed with emotion, I already know. You know, and you're not the only one that said that. I don't say that bragging either. I say that just to let you know, the audience know that others have personally told me that they just cried when they read the essay. They were just so moved by it, you know. But, you know, that's what I do. I mean, I'm just a very passionate person. That's just how I live my life and everything I do, whether it's, you know, with the kids or playing a sport, love exercising, whatever it is, I do it with everything I got, you know, and that's one word I would describe myself as, passionate, for sure. So the writing comes from passion. It comes from just, you know, living it and telling it exactly how I feel, you know. So that's the best way I can describe it.
Okay, and is there any other, I know you said you do screenplays. You have a screenplay that you're trying to find investors to invest in. Now, is there any other type of work that you do with your
Work as far, I mean, I do have, all kinds of things. I do help, you know, I have a little side kind of gig, so to speak, where I help client. I do writing work for clients. You know, they need web content writing, they need biographies and just different things, articles. I actually have a few published articles and stuff. So I was done some editing work for what's the name of the Rolling Out magazine. It was Atlanta-based. A friend of mine, she was went to college at Georgia State University with me. She recently visited, too, here. She came out here on a business, and we hung out. But anyway, she was the editor, Krista, her name. She was the editor, and she brought me on board to be one of the writers for that magazine. So I've done a little bit of that, like I said, a little client work, that type of thing, when they need usually web content for their website, web content. But, you know, business letters, I mean, I do all kinds of writing in different genres. And so those are the things I do, other work, if you will, that I do outside of what everybody's already heard.
Would you like to give the audience any type of contact information in case anyone needs some work done? I mean, I know I can't say that I have used you myself.
Right.
So I can vouch you do good work. You're very talented,
thank
you. You're also creative. And I just wish there were more people in the world like you. I mean, seriously. I mean, you certainly touched me. I'm sure you're aware the type of work that I do. I like putting a hand out to the community and helping people all around the world. I have families that I am adopting and have adopted in the country of Malawi. I also have families that I've adopted in the United States and pledges. So, you know, the work that you have done, you know, in our country means something to me because I'm also doing the same type of work. And I know it's real hard to find people to help. You know, everybody's caught up in their own lives, you know.
Right.
And they forget basically what our country is built on. Our country is built on God, you know. And God tells us to love thy brother. You know, if you cannot love your brother that you can see, how can you love me that you cannot see? You know, and a lot of people need to take a look at that. I mean, I know we all have everyday problems in our life. I do.
Right.
You do. You apparently do. I mean, you just told everyone that you did. You know, I mean, but you still take the time out to help others. And if we could just have a little more people, I mean, just a quarter of people in the world, Lord, we can move mountains, you know, with a personality like you have. And gracious.
You too.
You know.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I just really want to say thank you, you know,
Thank you.
Children are suffering all around the world. You know, from dysfunctional families. I don't know if you ever dealt with that topic of child molestation, you know, or dealt with children like I have who have been in these unfortunate situations, being molested by family members, neighbors, et cetera, you know. And, you know, all these things is just an ongoing problem. And it's not affecting just America. I mean, it's not just sitting home. It's everywhere around the world. You know, there's, I hate to say, children being hung for being Christians. You know, there's so much bad things happening in the world. You know, you can't, it's very seldom you look on the news and see something positive. I mean, you don't see that. You know, you don't see anything positive. You don't see people like us on the news. You understand what I'm saying? They don't advertise that. It's just drama, chaos, the devil's doing, you know, and I get tired of it, me myself.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see something positive happen in this country. Of course, first in our backyard, you know, we got to clean up our own backyard first. And, you know, I agree with that. We have to start home first. But it's so many people, you know, that are in need. There's so many things going on. I have a pledge to stop human trafficking. I know you deal with this work. I'm sure you heard of what's going on in these countries. These children having to have sex to eat food, you know.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be well taken care of in foster care. People kidnapping children, selling children, treating them as sex slaves. Women, even men, you know, it's becoming more and more common. And it's, you know, it really disgusts. I'm not going to lie, it pisses me off, and it takes a lot to piss me off, but you know, I'm just getting tired of it. I just would like to see more people put a hand out. I mean, even if it's a dollar a day you donate to some organizations, I mean, I'm sure we can spare that, you know. But I would like you, if you could, to, you know, reach out to the audience, you know, maybe someone in a particular field may want to use your expertise, you know. It could be a nonprofit organization. They may need you to help. I mean, you seem like you have a lot of experience in doing different types of work.
Yeah, well, they can reach out to me if they want to. I have a website. It's kind of long, but I can say it if you want me to give it to you.
Yes, and can you say it twice to make sure everyone gets it?
Okay, and I was probably made me spell it out quickly too, but it's www.marksproductions.webs.com, and that's Marks, M-A-R-K-S, Productions, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-S, and Webs, W-E-B-S.com, of course, C-O-M, MarksProductions.webs.com, and I have, you know, that's what I have, our contact, my email and on that is on my website where people can contact me if they need, and I have all my writings. So I have 17 writing samples up where people can see the different things I've done there in different genres, too. So there you have it. That's my website, marksproductions.webs.com. So that's it.
Well,
so I can get into
I can tell you that I definitely need you. I mean, I would love for you to come out. You know, like I have some children that are due to come on next week speaking about peer pressure and, you know, next week's show about peer pressure. Some of the children, you know, even had dysfunction, have dysfunctional families. And these teenagers will be appearing on a show next week. And I would love you to give them, these kids, a little bit of insight, you know, by you working with children. I mean, I would love for you to appear sometimes and help some of these kids, you know, give them a little bit of insight. You know,
that'd
give them something to learn. Hello?
Yeah, I was saying it would be my pleasure.
Oh, that's great, because, I mean, it's real hard to find people that, like, as I said, I'll say it again, who want to help. And, I mean, we're hurting in this country. We really are, you know. I'm hurting myself mentally, physically. It's a lot, and sometimes when we do this type of work, it feels like the world is leaning on your shoulder, because there's not that many people that want to help, you know, that even have the same goals as people like me and you have. You know, they're more caught up on worldly possessions than, you know, the world and the problems that we have in it. And I am about to start a nonprofit organization as well, and I'll be hiring people to help, you know, with these issues. I would love for you to come on board with me. I truly would. Okay, so you are accepting my offer, because I really need some help. It's hard, you know, hard to get donations in. It's hard, and it's hard for people to even donate a dollar, to push a donate button. It's not easy. It's not easy to do things like this. But we have to stay strong and continue having, you know, and hope, and things will get better. Really feel in my heart things will get better. Is there anything that you would like to give the audience insight on? We're about to be wrapping it up soon.
I was thinking about it for the last few minutes. Matter of fact, I was going to say one thing. I'm a big reader. I love to read, and reading has changed my life. One of the things that I live my life by, I found in a book. It said, one of the ways, I forgot who the author was, but it said, if you're going through something, if you're going through a challenge or adversity or whatever it might be, one of the best ways to help yourself and to lift your own self up is to go help someone else, it said. And I found that to be so true. It's like, if you feel down and out, and you go out and help somebody, it's amazing how your life starts to improve. It's like you start to feel good because you're helping somebody, and then things just, you know, the universe just makes your life better. Things start happening for you, but you got to get out there and, you know, rather than staying in a dark house with shades all drawn and out and all, you go out and help somebody, and you help yourself by helping somebody, you know, really do. That's just one of the most profound things I've learned, you know, and it came in a book. Nobody told it to me. I came across it in the written word, you know. So one of the reasons why I love to read is just, you know, everything is in a book, as they say. Everything there is to know about the world is in a book, you know. So there you have it. That's what I would share with the audience.
Didn't you say earlier, I may have misheard you, but I believe I heard you say you dealt with people. Did you teach people how to read?
Well, literacy, adult literacy, adults in the South Bay area, you know, the South Bay area being Torrance, promotes the beach redundancy, and the South Bay Literacy Council is the name of the organization. And they actually need, I know they need more volunteers, too, for that organization. But, yeah, I've helped adults one-on-one who, you know, I know one person I work with, she stopped reading, stopped her education at third grade, you know, but was a very intelligent woman. I even told the president of the organization, I said, had this woman continued on with her schooling and all, and I could see her being a president of a company, I said. You know, she's just learned so quickly. And I'm like, with a third grade education, this woman's amazing, you know. And that was very fulfilling, you know, working with her. I worked with this other guy who was, disabled, but it's nice to see people read and improve and improve their lives, and then they can go on and get better jobs. She had a job, that's the lady that I worked with, but I definitely see her doing better for herself than the job that she had. I forgot what it was, but it was a worker job, I call them. But it's fulfilling work to see people learn how to read, because you know that's I know we take it for granted, people who know how to read, but if you can't read an application, you can't work, you know, and there are other things you can't do if you can't read, you know. So I found that to be very fulfilling work. So they're only adults, like I said, they don't work, we don't work with kids, so that's why they call it the Adult Literacy Council.
Can you tell the audience a little bit of maybe a percentage? I mean, how many people have you actually dealt with in that area that had this disability?
When you say disability, you mean in the literacy issue?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the percentage. I just know it's more people than I thought, because we would have symposiums, the organization would have, conferences, and they would talk about this type of thing. I don't recall them talking about actual percentages and that type of thing, but they did say it. I do recall it being more than I thought, a lot more people that are illiterate than I thought, you know, and it's certainly a bigger problem. I know a lot of people don't think about it because it's not something that's right in your face, and you know, and you just kind of go about your life, and you go to work, go home, and go shopping, grocery shopping, and you don't. There's no way to really encounter it unless you kind of you're in an organization or you read about it. You know, make a point to read about it and seek out the information, but. It's out there, that's for sure, and that's just the South Bay area. So, you know, I would imagine, if we talk about the America, the entire nation, and then if you want to expand from there and talk about the world, you know, there's a lot of people out there that need help in that area of literacy, you know. So, and a good thing, that program works with both literacy, with reading and that type of thing, and I also work with computer literacy. It's a great organization. So, because we live in a world where a lot of things are online, and you know, it's good to become computer literate. You know, it's all about bettering your life and your condition. That's what it's all about. You know, so.
Do you have their information on hand? I heard you say they need more volunteers, you know, to help people learn how to read. Maybe that name of that foundation, maybe they can Google it if you don't have the website on hand.
You know what? I have it switched, flopped around. It's actually they need more. They have enough volunteers. It's the people. It's the people with their literacy issues that they need more of. And I think about it, because there's kind of the stigma to it. You know, and some people feel they feel bad about letting people know that they can't read. But yeah, But we let them know that they can be comfortable with that. So I made a mistake. It's not actual volunteer. Although we can, they probably can use more volunteers, but it's mostly the people who need the help, you know, with the literacy problems. Those are the people that need to come out and, you know, and be and get help from the organization. And so the information, I know the website is South Bay Literacy Council, SBLC.org, or they could just put South, type in, you know, Google search engine, South Bay Literacy Council, and it'll come up, the South Bay Literacy Council. And you're, that's the easy way, but because I'm not totally sure on the web address, but I believe it's SBLC.org, South Bay Literacy Council. You can do a Google search and, you know, go from there.
Okay. Yeah. Would you like to share a sample of your work with the audience?
I don't. Do you have it? I don't have anything. Well, I do. I just found something that's in the car. I didn't know if you already had it in front of you because I wasn't. I just happened
no,
to
have
mine.
No, actually, I don't. This was a little surprise.
Yeah, you just threw it on me. I didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I just thought about this right now. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of your work, especially that essay on.
Well, you're in luck because I printed it out for my attorney. My divorce attorney wanted a copy. She bought a copy from me, mailed a check, and just said, "Oh, just print it out and send it to me that way." And I don't know. She just wanted me to do it that way, and so I have it in the car. That's funny that you. So I mean, I don't know how much you want me to read of this white man crying in the dark.
You know, whatever you would like to share. You know, we don't want to.
I can't read the whole thing on a show, but
you can post too much of your work, just a certain, you know, maybe a paragraph.
All right. Put a stop in front of it. Go to the second paragraph. Okay, so this is it. It says, it had been the culmination of many things that led to this day when I found myself sitting on a toilet in my apartment on a dark night in a dark room crying. Many a night I have cried in the dark, but perhaps the most poignant and indelible memory of one such incident was precipitated by something my 3-year-old girl and my 4-year-old boy said to me. "Daddy, are we going to go get some ice cream now?" Speechless and consumed with shame, I quietly stepped past my 2 little ones and into the bathroom, closed the door, cut off the lights, and began sobbing. I was crying in the dark. Everyone knows that we live in a society in which men are taught at a tender age not to cry. "Suck it up," are the words that constantly bombard a little boy's ears. "Boys don't cry." And so boys grow into men who carry this heavy albatross around their necks that no man or any human should be expected to bear. Men are tough, right? We are supposed to take whatever the world throws at us and just deal with it without shedding a tear. Well, we might not cry in the light where everyone will notice us, but men do cry in the dark. I have had my wife wipe tears from my eyes even as she herself was crying, only to tell me to stop crying. That men don't cry. We live in a society that expects a man to be strong, quote unquote strong, and shoulder all his problems and move right along. Men are human and need an outlet just as women and any other living form. Because of societal norms and mores about this, men cry in the dark. This is why I cry in the dark. That's a little bit of what I wrote on the essay, Why Men Cry in the Dark.
Well, I want to thank you for appearing on the show today, Michael. God bless, and I want to tell you to keep up the good work. And I will be in contact with you very soon on some work that we possibly can do with each other, making a difference.
Absolutely.
But thank you. I appreciate your input, and our audience has as well. I want to thank the audience for tuning in today on VBS Radio. Hope to hear from you. See you next week. May you all have a blessed week. All right, Michael, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.